Okay, let's get to technology now. The gadget detective Fevzi Turkalp awaits. Fevzi, thank you for doing this. How's your week been?
It's actually been pretty good, actually. Busy.
Well, that's good.
Lots to do.
Just I like twiddling your thumbs and idling your time, you know, it's good to be busy.
Well, actually, one of our gadgets involves twiddling my thumbs, so we'll come to that.
All right, we better crack on then, hadn't we? Couple of tech news stories first. There are a couple of websites, including Business Insider, reporting a story about Facebook and the reemergence, I think is the right word to use, of some data that was removed from Facebook, taken from Facebook 2 years ago.
Yeah, so, a lot of this data has been circulating since January of this year. It's 533 million Facebook users' data has been released. So up until this point, it's been sold, you know, because this data has value. Now it's just been made available.
It's more accessible.
It's been published for free. So 533 million Facebook users, including Mark Zuckerberg's personal information, his mobile phone number, his marriage information, the data of two of the co-founders of Facebook. It's actually good to know that they put their faith in their own product, and so when they're hacked, they're as exposed as everybody else.
They ride the roller coaster like the rest of us do.
Yeah.
So this is not a new leak of information. This is something that's happened already, but is just now easier for those who might want to access.
So this particular data hack, the data from this hack has been circulating since January of this year. But it hasn't, you know, when I say circulating, it's been available in the dark corners of the internet for a price. And now what's happened is that it's been published, all of it.
What happens now then? I suppose, you know, if it's out there, it's out there. And there's nothing much that can be done.
Yeah, I mean, you can change what you can change. But, you know, how convenient is it to change your mobile number, for example, or your email address and so forth? So, you know, Facebook really have to take better care of our data. They're the custodian. They're one that probably the single biggest custodian of data in the world. And
there's no reason why you should know this, but have they had anything to say about this today?
I think they've confirmed that it's happened, and as various journalists have confirmed, they've confirmed that the data is accurate. Although they have said that the number of people hacked is probably about half of the 533 million, because there are some duplicates in there as well.
If my maths is right, then if it's half of that 533 million, that is roughly 1 in 10 of Facebook users in the world.
Yeah, I mean,
if you think of 2.6 billion, I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge by any measure, and it's quite disgraceful that they don't hold on to it. And I hope that they will get a nice big fine for this, because it's not the first time, as you say. There was a huge hack a couple of years ago, and they seem to be hacked on a regular basis. And even when they're not hacked, you know, if you think back to the Cambridge Analytica debacle, that wasn't a hack so much as people were able to scrape data from the system. They've tightened up a bit since then, but really an organization like Facebook has to have security at its heart. You know, you have to design it with security built in, not bolted on afterwards. And that seems,
I mean, they're not here to speak for themselves. I suppose they would say big platform, big target.
Yeah, and they've got lots of money to try and secure it, so they should do a better job.
Well, let's follow this one. Let's see if it appears. this has appeared, I believe Bloomberg has it and Business Insider has it, a couple of other portals. I don't think I've seen this on any of the main newspaper websites yet, but we'll keep watching for it. One other tech story of this week, Fevzi, if you'd like this one. Microsoft selling augmented reality headsets to the U.S. Army. Why would they want to do that?
Well, augmented reality, so it's worth it probably just explaining what augmented reality is and how it differs from virtual reality. So virtual reality is where you wear a headset and it completely replaces reality. You know, it will shine images of computer-generated images into your eyes. Your ears will hear something commensurate. You know, it may feel your sense of smell and touch and so forth. Augmented reality is different. Augmented reality is like a layer of information, a digital layer of information overlaid on reality, hence the term augmentation of reality. Yeah, And it, in that sense, it's a bit like a heads-up display. And, you know, the military have used various types of heads-up displays in, you know, cockpits and so forth for many years. But this is a lot more sophisticated than that. And it's quite interesting because the headsets that they have agreed to sell to the U.S. Army, costing $22 billion, by the way, the contract over a 10-year period, is based on the HoloLens product, which is a gaming product that they've been working on. So it's quite interesting that as games get more realistic and, you know, they can become realistic simulations, then there are military applications for that as well. Over 120,000 headsets will be manufactured in the US and sold over the next 10 years to the US military.
And this will be the way of warfare in the future.
Yeah, I mean, whether they use it for training or whether they use it to, you know, help someone aim a weapon or provide information about what they're looking at, where they are, maybe overlay maps, or, you know, you could put a sat-nav overlay over it, so soldiers, you know, running through the dark, for example, could actually effectively see where they're going and be guided by it. I would say that I know that some of the people that work at Microsoft are not at all happy that they're now working for a military contractor, and there were similar protests when Google was fulfilling military contracts and doing robotics projects.
Well, we'll see how that one shapes up, but it is very much the way of the future. Let's talk about a couple of gadgets. We've got about 2 and a bit minutes for each. There's one that apparently, I know you're very keen on this, one that makes working from home easier, which would be great for both of us.
Yeah, so this is an unusual gadget. It's a ring. It's called Wave for Work. And it's by a company called Genki Instruments, G-E-N-K-I.
When you say ring, do you mean ring like wedding ring?
Yeah, as in you wear it. You wear it on your index finger because, so it's not a symmetrical ring. It's got a bulge on the side pointing towards your thumb, and there are three buttons. And essentially, what this ring can do is replace keyboard shortcuts. So anything that you could normally do with a control key combination on your keyboard, you can do. So for example, let's say you're on a video call, you're on a Zoom call, you can mute yourself by pressing the center button or use it as push to talk. You press the upper button, it's the equivalent of raising your hand. You press the lower button, you can turn the camera on and off. So you can do this remotely. So whilst you're on camera, you can control the camera goes up, on and off, and you can mute and unmute yourself easily just by pressing your thumb against your index finger. Similarly, you can use it for controlling music. If you're listening to, I don't know, Spotify or whatever it is, you can skip forward and backwards through tracks. If you press a button and twist your wrist, you're controlling the volume, which is kind of cool. You know, being able to just twist your wrist and control the volume as you go, kind of like that one.
So this thing will kind of bridge some of the things that your phone does and some of the things that your remote controls do.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't have to reach for anything. So particularly when you're on camera, I think on Zoom calls and so forth, it's very useful. You don't have to hold a remote control. You're actually wearing it as a ring. It's also good for presentation. So you can skip backwards and forwards through slides, for example, using key presses to the ring. And it can control a variety of applications like Zoom, Teams, PowerPoint, even Photoshop, and something called OBS, which is used by live streamers. So people who don't want to be reaching across to keyboards, and particularly if you're on camera, you may not be near the keyboard. You know, it's not great to be looking away and doing these sorts of things. So it's pretty impressive. It's not a cheap.
I like it. Well, you need a certain amount of dexterity then for this?
No, because it's only three buttons on the ring, and you quickly get used to it. I think it's not doesn't need too much. In terms of pricing, the full price is $149. I note that the launch price is $99. The only thing I would say is this is a new product. I mean, it was only unembargoed about 4 days ago, and I expect that over time the software will become more sophisticated, and you'll be able to do more with it. I think as it is, it's probably worth it at $99. I'm not sure I'd pay $149 for it as it is at the moment, but I think it's probably worth going for now on the basis that the software will improve and become more sophisticated. And
you know, one of the main things about this, from the way you describe it, this is pointing the way to other gadgets and devices that may work in a similar way.
Yeah, in fact, there is a version of this product, which I hope to review at some point, which allows musicians to shape the music that they're creating by movement and pressing the buttons on it. So there is great scope for this. This is all a part of, you know, interacting in our space to control devices. And we in the future, we'll be able to control devices by all sorts of means. And wearable technology isn't just wristwatches or even glasses. It's rings, and it's pretty much anything that you can imagine
all
wearing.
Your head in the future, Fevzi. Now, if we get to move on, we can do one more. And this is something that I think has a lot of potential if it works in the way that the people who make this anticipate. And funnily enough, it's a Belkin device. I was actually cleaning and testing an old Belkin device that I've used for years, a little FM transmitter.
Right.
I can put radio off the internet on an FM frequency quite legally. This thing is right up to date, and it is Belkin.
Yeah, so it's by Belkin. It's called the UV sanitizer for phone and wireless charger. Yeah, so what it does is it uses... So imagine a device which is more or less the shape of a mobile phone, but bigger. It looks like a coffin for a mobile phone. It's got a sort of flip lid, and you put your phone in it. Or you can actually use it to sanitize other devices. But let's say you're doing a smartphone. So you pop your smartphone inside, you close it, you press the button, press it once for 3 minutes, twice for 10 minutes, and three times to stop the device if you want to override the timer. And it has UVC, so ultraviolet C LEDs, so light emitting diodes, but the light that they emit isn't normal visible light, it's ultraviolet C. Now, ultraviolet C has well-known properties for the ability to kill bacteria. It can, under some circumstances, kill viruses, but they're not making any claims for viruses at the moment. So just, you know, don't necessarily think it's going to solve all your concerns. But even being able to kill what they claim is 99% of bacteria is really kind of special. And you can put your phone in there or any item that will fit. So like a set of keys or your credit cards, your rings, you can sanitize all those things by just having it in there for a few minutes. Now,
I like the sound of that. I mean, you know, you go to offices and you're always borrowing, you know, dirty old pens.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that. Pop them inside there, and I think it's a good thing to do. I do think that, you know, sort of a Clinel wipe, you know, the sorts of antibacterial, antiviral wipes they use in hospitals that come in those green packets, that they do a pretty good job. But I have to say, my poor old phone gets sanitized with that stuff a couple of times a day, and it's one of the reasons I didn't buy a new phone this year. Is I didn't want to subject a brand new iPhone to sort of soggy wipes that keep, you know, going.
Well, I use Tesco's wipes, but this is an alternative.
Yeah,
and another device that may point the way to the future. In our dying seconds together, Fevzi,
can I just say one more thing?
Yeah. One more thing. We've only got seconds.
If you put the phone on top of it, it's a wireless charger.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, that's double value. What's it called again?
It's called the Belkin UV Sanitizer, and it's about £40.
Right. I wonder who Belkin was. I wonder if Belkin was a person. I've often wondered this when I look at my little FM transmitter. Fevzi, if people want to ask you a tech question, communicate with you, wish you happy birthday, where do they go?
Round to my house with a cake. But otherwise on Twitter, @GadgetDetective, or if you want to see what else I get up to, GadgetDetective.com, the website.
Fevzi, thank you very much indeed. One day I will tell you the story. We don't have the seconds for it now, sadly. Somebody, when I was on a big radio show in London, actually did turn up on my birthday at my front door when I was just about to go to bed with a cake. He'd got my name from the electoral roll long time ago.